Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Samech. We are on Nun Tes Amud Beis. We're starting this morning Tanu Rabban on seven lines on the bottom of the Amud. Our discussion has been revolving on the Kohen Gadol. Here we are in the sixth parak of Yevamos, and we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. It's a little bit of a strange place to talk about it, but as sixth parak deals with Bia and all aspects of Bia, so we know the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. So here we are. The definition of a besula, so that was yesterday's discussion. The Gemara graphically discussed exactly what are the requirements of a woman regarding her besula status so that a Kohen Gadol can marry her. Why does a Kohen Gadol have to marry a besula? Because the Torah says so. But outside of that, I quoted yesterday the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says that the Kohen Gadol has to be an elevated status of Kedusha and Tahara. And as such, so the woman that he's going to marry also has to be in that state of Kedusha and Tahara. Never been with another man, and not even consideration for another man. In other words, she has to be besula, so physically and spiritually pure. That's the Sefer HaChinuch, and that's going to contrast quite awkwardly with where we're going to begin. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara quotes the following braisa: Anusas atzmo mufutas atzmo. So let's say the Kohen Gadol is ma'anes a woman or mefate. So either he rapes or seduces her. Okay. At this point in time, I think the Kohen can be eligible for impeachment. Okay, but it happens to be not our discussion. The Gemara is not focused on that. The Gemara is going to be, as the Gemara is, singularly focused on one particular topic. Not to the exclusion of the other topics. It just happens to be that our Gemara is right now focused on one topic. And that is, so can he marry her? So on one hand, the Torah says he has to marry a besula. On the other hand, she's not a besula. On the third hand, yeah, you know why she's not a besula? Because he was ma'aneser, or he was mefata her. So anusas atzmo mufutas atzmo.
What age?
Machlok is whether she can or cannot be a Bulgaris. Right. You're right. Age is going to be significant. Let's assume she's an Ara. For the purpose of this discussion, let's assume she's an Ara. So Anusas Asma Mufutas Asma Lo Yisa. So the halach is he's not allowed to marry her. Why not? Because she's not a Besula. Vim Nasa Nasui. However, if he marries her, Bidiavid, okay. So Bidiavid, he can marry her. Hold that thought for just a moment, because we're going to qualify that in just a second. Now, let's say she was meuneses or mefuta from another man. So now he's not the reason why she's not a beula. He's not the reason why she's not a besula. She's not a besula from another man. So now he can't marry her. Vimnasa. Now what if he does marry her? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Avlad Chalav Chacham Amor Mimavlad Kasher. So machlok is regarding the status of the Vlad. Machlok is Tanayim. I'll hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to be Mazber. We're going to explain the machlok is HaTanayim in just a moment. We're going to go back to the first part of the Braisa, and that is Anusas Atzma Mufutas Atzma. So the Kohen Gadol was Ma'anes a woman. Okay, again, strange sentence, beyond strange, but we're just singularly focused now on his allowance. Is he allowed to marry her? So the Allah is no, but if he does, Bidyeved, Nasui. So he can keep her. So is that correct? So yes or no? So Amravun Motzi Beget. So the Gemara quotes a halacha by Rav, and that is he has to divorce her. He can keep her. Okay, so isn't all this confusing? Very confusing. So now the halacha is that he shouldn't marry her. Ideally, lichatchila, he shouldn't marry her. Bidyeved, if he marries her, it's good. But then Rav adds, yeah, but if he marries her, then he's got to divorce her. Okay. Granted, by the way, your head should be spinning at this point in time. It is admittedly confusing. Now, Ve'ela Hadik Tani Imnasa Nasui. Now, the Gemara says, okay, but the Braisa says Imnasa Nasui. Sounds like it. In other words, he can be Mekayimer. So, Am Ravacha Bar Yaakov Lamar She'em Hasham Kenas B'mefuta. So he says, no, the Rav is right that he has to divorce her. So then, why do I care that? If he marries her, we could sustain the marriage, because we're not going to end up sustaining the marriage because he's going to have to divorce her. So what difference does it make? So the difference is going to be the question of knas and mefuta. So in order to understand this, so let me give everyone a crash course regarding what happens when a man's ma'anis a woman, what happens when a man's mefata a woman. Let's start off with oni. So a man is ma'anis a woman. So first of all, that in of itself is asur. But if he does so there are going to be three consequences. Number one, he has to pay her knas. Number two, he has to marry her. Again, if she is willing. And number three, once he marries her, he can't divorce her. Okay, those are the three ramifications of ones. When it comes to pitui, it's almost the same. Now, pitui, the difference between ones and mafata is that pitui, she was seduced, meaning eventually she yielded, she agreed. So over there, so what are the ramifications? So here it's going to be a little bit different. In that, number one, there is a kanasta pay, but the knas is only going to be paid if she's not agreeing to the marriage. And but if she agrees to get married, so then he doesn't have to pay her knas. Okay.
He can't divorce her.
He can't divorce her. In that regard, it's going to be the same. Okay, so that's the difference between Onis and Mafata. By Onis, he pays her Kanas. Even with marriage, he still has to pay her Kanas. And by Pitu, he does not have to pay her Kanas if she is agreeing to get married. So, the Gemara suggests the following. That what difference does it make whether this Anusas Atzmo, Mufutas Atzmo, where he shouldn't marry, but if he does, the marriage sustains, but Rav says he has to divorce her. Okay, so we're back to square one, meaning they're not married. So why are we even entertaining and discussing the issue of marriage? And why? Who cares to the validity of the marriage? So the Gemara says the difference is going to be Kanas by Mefuta. Why? So now that I gave you the background, now you understand. Because now, if it's a case of Mefuta, meaning Onis, it's not going to matter. He's going to have to pay Kanas anyway. So by Kanas, it really won't make a difference. But by Mefuta, once she agrees to the marriage and they get married, so now the Kanas goes away. Okay, that's going to be the difference.
But so it makes a difference for the woman, though. Can marry somebody else unless he gives her a get.
Also true. Correct. Fair.
He can't give her a get.
Now Tosos over here points out the following. So let's consider what happens now. So we waive the Kanas. Okay, because they got married. Oh, but you know what happens when he marries her?
He can't divorce her.
In this particular case, he has to divorce her.
I know, but I'm saying, but
in general, he can't. But in this particular case, he has to divorce her. Okay, fine. So wait, just 1 second. Let's go step by step. So Tosus over here points out. So okay, fine. So we waive the kanas because the marriage sustains, and this is a case of pitui. So we waive the kanas. Okay, but you know what marriage means? Marriage means that you're going to have to write her a ksuva. And you know what happens when you divorce her? You're going to have to pay the ksuva. Oh. So what just happened over here? So what happened over here is, you know why it's a big deal that they got married and the marriage is valid, even though he's going to have to divorce? So the big deal is now we're going to waive the kanas. Okay, so you know what we did? So we left one payment only to walk into into another payment. So, okay, so you no longer have to pay your kanas, but now you're going to have to pay your ksuva. So what did you gain? Tosos asks. V'im tomar, the top toso, samach amadal, shein masham kanas ben mafuta. V'im tomar became the bai get, now a get is required, v'isla ksuva. And of course, once we're talking about marriage, there's no such thing as marriage without ksuva. So that means there's a ksuva, kamo aman al kohen gado, yishla ksuva kitamrin abiyesh mutaros. And even though the kohen's marrying someone he should not marry, but it's still, in other words, once we're looking at the validity of the marriage, there is going to be ksuva. So now, here's the big deal. It's a big deal that he doesn't have to pay her kanas. Okay, good. He doesn't have to pay her kanas. He has to pay her ksuva. So, okay, so where did he financially gain in such a situation? Okay, he's going to get waived of the kanas. Okay, good. Because they got married. But now he has to divorce her. Now he's going to have to pay her ksuva. So, okay, where was the financial gain? What was the big deal over here? So Tosus over here gives four different answers to this question. So, and I'm not going to go through the rest of the Tosus right now, but it's so interesting. I'll tell you what Tosus doesn't answer, which I thought of immediately, and Tosus did not mention it. And that is, do you know what the ksuva is? So just in terms of numbers. So the kanas for being ma'anes, a woman, is chamishim shkalim, 50 shkalim, which is equivalent to 200 zuz. How much is the ksuva? Ksuva is 200 zuz. That's why Tosus is bothered. In other words, it's the same dollar amount. You haven't gained. So I thought immediately, yeah, the ksuva is 200 zuz for a basula. What is she? She's a ba'ula. Now, here's where it gets tricky, and this is probably what Tosus is thinking. Yes, it's true she's a ba'ula, but why is she a ba'ula? Because of him. Yeah. Right. So in other words, so this is a ksuva 4A, even though she's not a basula, but when he was mefata to her, she was a basula. Okay, so I thought that, so the ksuva over here is 100, the kanas is 200, that's a big difference. But Tosus obviously is not thinking like that. I mean, Tosus is rejecting my thought. And Tosus is clearly of the position that the ksuva is going to be for 200 zuz. She's not a basula now? Yeah, but she was a basula when you were ma'anis her, or in this case, when you were mefata to her.
Indirect,
okay,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a question of money. You get a fine, it has
Well, that's one of Tosas's answers. Okay, one of Tosas's answers is that Knas and Ksuva are not this, right. It's not the same grade of payment. Yes.
The difference between Ma'anis and Mefater, Ma'anis, one is willingly, one is unwillingly.
Correct. Correct. Also, Rav Gvia may bake still Amar Lishmaita Kamed Rav Ashi. So, Rav Gvia is now saying over what we just learned together. Amalei v'ha Rav Rav Yochanan Amit Avayo Bogeres Mukas Eitz Lo Yisavim Nasa Nasui. So, I'm bothered. Meaning, Anusa Satsma Mufuta Satsma. What did we just learn together? Can't marry her. Okay. Lichatchila Bidi Eved, he can. However, we just also learned an addendum, an important addendum. Oh, but he's got to divorce her. Okay. Meanwhile, let's compare and contrast that with the Braisa. The Braisa reads, it's not a Braisa, sorry. It's a Memra of Rav and Rav Yochanan, which is that if the Kohen marries a Kohen Gadol marries a Bogeres, is he allowed to? No. Now, I say no. Remember yesterday was Machlokas? Good. Let's say no. Okay? A Kohen Gadol can't marry a Bogeres. And a Kohen Gadol cannot not marry a Mukas Eitz. Okay. And if he does, so Lichatchila is not allowed to do so. And if he does, so then the marriage can sustain. And here, sustain means they can remain married. And Alma, and what's the reason why? So Sofalios Bogeres Tachtav, Sofalios Mukas Eitz Tachtav. Because these are conditions which anyway she's gonna become. Meaning when the Kohen Gadol marries an Ara, as he should, and according to Rashi, even a Katana. So, okay, fine. You know what's gonna happen? This one I can predict. She's gonna become a Bogeres. Okay, so in other words, so these are situations, circumstances where anyway she's going to become. And Mukas Eitz over here just simply means she loses her Dan Basula. So over here, when she marries a Kohen Gadol as a Basula, you know what's going to happen. She's going to lose her Dan Basula. So in other words, even though he shouldn't have married the Bogeres and he shouldn't have married the Mukas Eitz, but these are conditions anyway that she's going to become. When the Kohen marries her, if the Kohen were to marry her lawfully, these are conditions that she would have become. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami sofalios beula tachtav." So over here, beula satzmo, anusa satzmo. So over here, can't we make the same exact argument? Meaning, okay, she's going to become a beula under him. So why don't we make the same argument and say, "Look, lichatchila shouldn't marry her, but if he does, so sustained." In other words, b'di'evad, the marriage should sustain, no different than mukas eitz, no different than bogeres kasha. Gemara says, "You know what? That's a good question." Okay, good. Let's move on.
But okay. What's the halacha then?
In other words, the Gemara still, no. In other words, kasha just simply means, it's a good question, but we're going to go like Rav.
We follow Rav Huna still with the halacha, right?
Yeah, I assume so. And kasha generally means that there's an answer to the question, but for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't go through the answer. Right? Tiyufta means that we've totally refuted it.
Case closed.
Right. Kasha just simply means, you're right, it's a good question. As we move on now to the next part of the Braisa, where we opened up this morning, and that is that she was Mu'unesis from somebody else, or Mefuta from somebody else. And now the Kohen Gadol can marry her, so the answer is an unequivocally no. Meaning there's nothing to talk about. She is not a Basula. The Torah says that only a Basula a Kohen Gadol has to marry. And it was not Anusa Satsmo, it was not Mufuta Satsmo. So he's not allowed to marry her. Now if he does, so we know the marriage sustains. Meaning again, there's Tfisas Kedushin. That's not open for discussion. So, and he should divorce her. Again, that's clear. The only thing left to discuss is what's going to be the status of the children. So what is the status of the children? That's the Machlokas. So Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's of the position that the children are going to be Chalalim. Devoid of their Kahuna, the Chachamim Omrim Avlad Kasher. Okay, so now, question, simple question. What are they arguing about? The Gemara is going to give two presentations of what they argue about. First the Gemara paskins. Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. V'chein amar Rav Gidal amar Rav. Halacha ka Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, so halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which shouldn't surprise us because generally speaking, right, the Mishnah is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kavanaki. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says very little. Again, the Rishonim say, it's a Rush, I believe, that says that there are 102 psukim of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in correspondence to Kav, the word Kav, Kav and Naki. Okay, good. I didn't count. I can't confirm, but the Rush says it. Good. So, and whatever he says, it's gold. So over here, when he says that the product of such a union is going to be a halal, that's the halacha. So the Ika da'amri amar Rav Huna amar Rav Maitam de Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, good. So now we say the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, why? meaning why is the child going to be a halal? And also, we also have to give the counter, meaning why do the Chachamim argue with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? So the Gemara says like this. This is the first presentation. So my time at Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Savalak Rabbi Elazar, because he holds like Rav Elazar. Now, Rav Elazar, we heard it yesterday. We're hearing it again today. Okay, the sheet of Rav Elazar is as follows. Cohen's not allowed to marry a zona. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So Cohen Gadol, Cohen's not allowed to marry a zona. Isha, the Isha zona, v'chalal lo yikachu. I didn't quote the right pasuk. That's by a Cohen Hedgeot. We're talking about a Cohen Gadol. It don't matter. In other words, a Cohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a zona. Okay. This woman who was, and I know this is going to sound a little bit harsh, but we've been here before. We've seen this before. This woman who has now been violated by another man, is she a zona? Vis-a-vis a Cohen, the answer is yes. Now, I say that. In other words, was she married at the time? No. Was the man prohibited to her? No. So not the issue. So why is she a zona? So in other words, there's a shita of Rabbi Elazar. We heard it yesterday. We're hearing it now again today. The shita of Rabbi Elazar is that any time there is bia out of the context of marriage, that's a maisa's nus, which will confer upon her the status of being a zona. Again, that's harsh. She didn't do anything wrong. She was violated. Okay, but vis-a-vis kahuna, she has the status of a zona, according to the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Now, the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim are of the position that it's not going to confer upon her the status of a zona. In other words, a single man is not allowed to be with a single woman. And it's wrong, and it's out of the context of marriage, and no. However, the Chachamim say that doesn't create a zona. A zona is when a woman engages in a prohibited act of bia, where the Torah prohibits it. Okay, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is working within the Shita of Rav Elazar, meaning because she was an anusa from a man out of the context of marriage, now that will confer upon her the status of a zona. Now, when the Kohen marries a zona, the result is going to be a chalom. Okay, that's the pshat. Umi Sarvala Kavase, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. In order to arrive at this conclusion, so you had to do the following alignment. You had to put Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov together with Rebbe Elazar. Gemara says, wait 1 second. V'hai kaimala mishnas Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov kavanaki. So first of all, you can't do that. Why? Because we know that over here we passing like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. That the result of a union of a Kohen Gadol to this Anusa is going to be a Chalal, meaning that's the Halacha. On the other hand, by a Zona, do we Paskin like Rabbi Elazar? Vila Baham, Rav Amram, Amarav, in Halacha ka Rabbi Elazar. No, we don't Paskin like Rabbi Elazar. The product of a union, I said it wrong. The woman who is having Bia outside of the context of marriage, is she a Zona? Rabbi Elazar says yes, but we don't Paskin like Rabbi Elazar over there, meaning she is not a Zona. She's not conferred the status of Zona. So, you can't do that. Meaning you can't take Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov and put it together with Rebbe Elazar, because we know we paskin like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and we also know that we don't paskin like Rebbe Elazar. So, Kashu, the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. You know what? That's difficult. Okay, it's difficult. Right. There's going to be a third one today. Okay, fine. Rev Ashi Amar, so here we are now with what's going to be our second presentation. Meaning Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that a Kohen Gadol marrying an Anusa, not an Anusa Satsmo, Anusa's Chavero. So a Kohen Gadol marrying an Anusa, so we have a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim, whether the child is a Chalal or not a Chalal, or a Kshera, or Kusher, boy or girl. So so what's the machlokus? So Rav Ashi now is going to say like this. And as Rashi points out over here, we're leaving Rav Elazar, meaning we don't passing like Rav Elazar, we leave Rav Elazar. Rav Ashi, Amar B'yesh Chalal Mechai Ve'aseh Kamifligi. So Rav Ashi says that, can you produce a challah from Chai Ve'aseh? Okay, look. Here's what we know. Cohen marries a grusha, shouldn't have done it. Children are chalalim. Okay, that's a given. Cohen Gadol can't marry an almana. If they have a child, the child is a challah. Another given. Let's do another one. Cohen marries a zona. Cohen or Cohen Gadol, don't matter. So, and they have a child. The child is a challah. Okay, again, these are givens. Okay. What if the Kohen marries somebody who he's not allowed to marry, not as a lav, but as an asay? Now, by Kohen Hedgeot, I can't give you an example because I can't think of one. Okay, by Kohen Gadol, I for sure can give you an example. And that would be a woman who's not a basula. Huh.
Right.
But that's not a lav. That's an essay. meaning the Torah says to the Kohen Gadol, you must marry a Basula. Now, what we infer from that is, and you can't marry a Ba'ula, but the Torah doesn't frame it as a lav. This is what's called the lav haba mechlal asei. The status of lav haba mechlal asei falls under the category of an asei, right? In the yeshivas, they call this an iser esei, right? It's a prohibition, but only coming out from the positive commandment. Okay, so it's an iser esei. So now, if the Kohen Gadol marries an iser esei, which is a ba'ula for the Kohen Gadol, so is that going to produce a chalal? That's the machlokus. Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov Savar Yesh Chalal Mechavei Asei v'Rabban Savar Ein Chalal Mechavei Asei. And the Gemara now says, okay, good. That's the machlokus. In my time with the Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov, and let's go dig even deeper. What is the drasha supporting each position? So, Dichsev Amanu Grusha V'Chalal Zona Asei Lo Yikach Kim Besula. So, V'Ksiv V'Lo Yichalal Zaro Be'Amav. So, let's take a look at the string of Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Emor, where it says, Amana Grusha V'Chalal Zona Asei Lo Yikach, that's talking about the Kohen Gadol. It also says, Ki Im Besula. And it also then goes on to say, V'Lo Yichalal Zaro Be'Amav. And if you marry any one of these women, the children are going to be Chalalim. So it's Akul, it's going on to all of them. Good, that's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Seems to be pretty glatt. Now, Rabbanan, the counter-argument, Eila Hifsika Inyan. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm sorry, Eila Hifsika Inyan. Now, well, yes and no, says the Chachamim. Amanu Gusha V'Chalal Zonas, Eila Lo Yikach. So Eila basically tells you, okay, put a hard pause over there. Now, when it says, and then if he marries them, the children are going to be Chalalim, it's only going on anyone prior to Eila. Okay. Which means that the basula, which comes afterwards, is not going to produce a challah. Okay. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov amar Eila lemutei nida. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will tell you, no. What Eila is coming to do is Eila is coming to tell me that if a Kohen marries this, the child is going to be a challah. But if the Kohen Gadol, let's say, were to, for example, to have a child with a nida, meaning even if it's his wife, but if it has a child with a nida, the child is not going to be a challah. And as Tosfos over here points out, he quotes the Torah's Kohanim, that you could have made an argument that it's a kavachomer, right? If a Kohen is producing a challah with a lav, so don't you think that he's going to produce a challah with a nida? Now, the argument is not a strong argument, and the Torah's Kohanim counters the argument. Anyway, over here, we have a drasha to tell us that the child is not going to be a challah, right? Meaning the nida is such a strange iser, in that it's an iser kares, but on the other hand, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the child is not a mamzer. As we're learning right now, the Kohen has a child with a nida. The child is not a chalal. Okay, so it's an iser kares. It's a serious iser, but the children will not have any pegam as a result of it. Anyway,
it's a temporary.
Okay, good. The reasons why you can mitigate it, but when the woman's a nida, it's an iser kares. Okay, come on. What? Anida is a woman who is menstruated and not gone to the mikvah.
All the way to, okay, fine.
Perfect. So, Keman Kareb Lazman Yaakov. Okay, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Brisa says, Eila, Otaso Chalav, but not from Anida. Okay, the author of the Brisa is Rav Lazman Yaakov, as we just learned together. Rav Lazman Yaakov, Nichtevei. La'ela libisov. So now, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that if a Kohen Gadol were to marry all of the mention, all the aforementioned, meaning a grusha, a chalala, a zona, sorry, right, I lost my spot, an almana, sorry, almana, grusha, v'chalala, zona. If the Kohen Gadol were to marry any one of those women and also add to that a bu'ula as well, and the resulting child is going to be a chalal, so take the word ela and put it after Basula. So Kasha, your third one for today. So the Gemara says, okay, good. It's a good question. Let's move on.
Third
okay.
And done.
Tana Rabbana. Okay, we are now on Samech Hamad Aleph. We're about two-thirds of the way down. And new topic, relatively new topic. Okay, Kohen is Metame for seven relatives, Zayin Krovim. Okay, so mother, father, brother, sister, wife, son, daughter. Good. So for the Zayin Krovim, Kohen's Metame. Kohen cannot go and be Metame for anybody. Kohen can be Metame for a Meis Mitzvah, but the Kohen Hedger can be Metame for the Zayin Krovim. Okay. Now, within this halacha, so a limitation, a provision as far as his sister is concerned. So the Torah says that when it comes to a sister, ula achoso habisula. So not for any sister can a Kohen be metami for, but a Kohen can only be metami for his sister who was a basula. And so over here, a lot of discussion in our Gemara, almost an Amud, in terms of the limits of a Kohen being metami for his sister. So Rachmanis, a Kohen loses his sister, so can he attend the funeral? So the answer is talui, it depends. And as we're going to see together in some occasions, machlokas, Tanu Rabbanan, achosa arusa. So let's say the Kohen's, and we're no longer talking about a Kohen Gadol, stam a Kohen. In fact, a Kohen Gadol is not metami for anybody. Okay, except for a mace mitzvah. So we're just talking about stam a Kohen. So achosa arusa. So number one, let's say the Kohen's sister is an arusa. Okay. And Rachmana, she dies. Is the Kohen metami for her? Just think it out for a moment. Meaning, is she a basula? The answer is yes. Is she single? The answer is no. But the Torah says, a basula. Okay, good. What is this? This is going to be a machlokas. Okay, so it's a machlokas. And in a moment, we're going to be masbir the machlokas. Okay, so hold that thought. Anusa mafuta. So the Kohen sister is been violated, so she's no longer a basula. Now again, real rachmanis, meaning she's an anusa, but still she's not a basula. Devarei kol ein matamila. So there's nothing to discuss. The Kohen's not going to be a matami for her. Number three, mukas eitz ein matamila. Devarei Rabbi Shimon. Shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer. Ruila Kohen gadol matamila. Shem ruila Kohen gadol ein matamila. As far as the mukas eitz is concerned, so she lost her basula, but not from a man, but rather from an accident. So there, Rabbi Shimon says, okay, it's unfortunate, but the Kohen's not going to be metamei for such a sister. Why? Because a Kohen Gadol can't marry her. So if a Kohen Gadol can't marry her, so a Kohen can't be metamei her, for her. Okay, and finally, number four. Bogeres metamei la, divrei kol adam. Now, as far as the Bogeres is concerned, so the sister died as a Bogeres, so metamei la. The Kohen can be metamei for such a sister. Okay. So there are four different types of sisters that we are litigating over here in the Braisa. And the Gemara now goes over all four of them. Let's go. Number one. So number one, if you remember, we're talking about Achosa Arusa. So she accepted Erusin, Kedushin from another man. And Rachmana, she died. Can her brother be Matami for her? So we know it's a Machlokas. So my time with the Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, the Dar Shachi. So the Shita Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda says that he can be Matami for her. So this is how they're going to darshan the Pasuk. Ula choso habisula prat la anusa umafuta. So it says basula, which means that as long as she has her basula, that excludes anusa mafuta. Now yachosh ani motzi ab mukaseitz. Now one would say, okay, so let's also exclude mukaseitz as well. Tamalam rasha laisa liish mishav yaso ayidei ish yatzazu sheinav yaso ayidei ish. So by the mukaseitz, yes, it's true she lost her basula, but not from a man. Hakrova lerabos arusa. So it also says hakrova. So that means that's coming to include arusa. Why is the arusa hakrova? Because remember, we've gone over numerous times. When a woman accepts erusin, so she's still living with the family. She didn't move in with her husband. She's not moving in with her husband until nisuin. Okay, so that's a ribui. And that comes to tell me that if she's an arusa, the Kohen's going to be matami for her. Elav lerabos abogeres. And a lav is coming to be, to include a bogeris. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. On this last point, this is just a quick sidebar. So halam li krav amar Rabbi Meir basula afilo mixas basula mashma. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. This is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Now I don't understand. Rabbi Meir taught us in yesterday's daf that the word basula would imply even mixas basulim. So over here, we're using the word ha basula. So that means even mixas basulim. And a bogeris has mixas basulim. Like we discussed in yesterday's daf. There's still residual basulim as it relates to a bogeris. So of course he's going to be metami her. So it's rechsakadat chamina neilf basula basula mehasam alahala nara afkan nami nara kamash malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, I would have thought that we could have gone in another direction. Interesting, Rashi over here. Where else does it say the word basula? It says it by nanusa. And nanusa in Parshas Kisaytzei, so it says that she's a nara. So over there, the basula over there is a nara. Over here, it's also a nara as well. That's what I would have thought. And kamash malan, no. That when you have a bulgaris and you have mixas basulim, so the Kohen can be metame for her. Okay. But anyway, what comes out over here, just just to make sure that we don't lose the forest over here. What comes out over here is that we explain the sheet of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. I want to edit that. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. The sheet of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is that if it's Achos Arusa and Rachmana she dies, so the Kohen can be Matame for her. Why? Because we have a Ribui. It says Hakrova, it's a Ribui. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, Maitama Darshe, Hachi, Ula Achos Abisula Prat Lanusa. So here's how Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda are going to darshan the Pasuk. Chos Abisula is Prat Lanusa Mefuta. Fine. So is she only a basula, which means that if she was an anusa or she was a mafuta, she no longer has a basula, and he can't be matami for her. Muka says, I'm sorry. Anusa, mafuta, muka says. Okay, all three. Meaning because she does not have her basula. Asher lo haisa, prat la arusa. Asher lo haisa is excluding the arusa, because as we've learned time and again throughout Shas, here in Seder Nashim, the word havaya means Erusin. So that means that Asher lo haisa, she didn't accept Erusin. Once she accepts Erusin, no. And then Akrova la rabos arusa shenizgarsha. And then what's Akrova coming to teach me? That if she was an arusa, but then she accepted a get from her husband, so now, and Rachmana she died, so now her brother can be matami for her. And Elav la rabos is a bogeris, and Elav is coming to include the bogeris. So, Hakrova la rabos arusa shenizgarsha. So the Hakrova is coming to include an Arusa who got a divorce. Vahama Rabbi Shimon, Ruhi Lekohen Gadol Matame La Shem, Ruhi Lekohen Gadol Ein Matame La. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. It doesn't conform with the rule of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that if she's eligible to marry a Kohen Gadol, so then a Kohen can be Matame for her. And if she's not eligible, a Kohen cannot be Matame for her. If she accepted Erusin and then she got a divorce, she's a Grusha. A Kohen Gadol cannot marry her. So then you can't be Matami for her. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim de Rabbi Rachmana Krova. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Meaning there's rules, but then there are exceptions. So the rule is if a Kohen can't marry her, a Kohen can't be Matami for her. But over here, it's an exception. Why? Because we have a drasha. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara says, Yahach Mukas Eitz Nami, Rabbi. So the Gemara says, okay, so once we have a drasha to include an Arusa Grusha, right? Complicated. A sister who accepted Erusin, then got a divorce, and then she dies, so the Kohen, her brother, can be Matami for her. And how do I know that? Meaning it violates the basic rule of if it can't marry her, it can't be Matami for her. The Gemara says, okay, so we have an exceptional drasha. So the Gemara says, great. Mukas Eitz, why don't we do the same thing over there? Make a drasha. So the Gemara says, no. Krova achas veloshtayim. The word krova allows only for one exception, not two exceptions. So the Gemara says, "Umari sahaitavid ben maisa hailo itavid ben maisa." So the Gemara says, "So why is our grusha, why is our arusa grusha more eligible for the drasha than the mukaseitz?" And the difference, says the Gemara, is that mukaseitz, there was a physical change that took place with her. As far as a arusa grusha, no physical change that took place with her. Rav Yossi, more commentary on the Braisa. Rav Yossi, Medeshavke Bar Zugei, Mechlal de Mamukas Eitz Karev Meir Svirle. The Gemara makes the following observation. Go back to the Braisa on the Amud Aleph. So you'll notice that what happened in the Achos Arusa, so we had Rav Yossi paired with Rabbi Shimon, which is in Matamila. Then we talked about Anusa Mafuta, no argument. Right, the Kohen cannot be Matamir, she's not a Basula. And then we got to Mukas Eitz. What happened? Ein Matamila Divri Rabbi Shimon. What just happened over there? Rabbi Shimon got decoupled from Rabbi Yossi. In the Arusa, it was Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon. And then Mukas Eitz, Rabbi Shimon standing alone. Why? Because for Mukas Eitz, Rabbi Yossi goes to the other team. So on Mukas Eitz, Rabbi Yossi now is on team Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What happened? That's what the Gemara is explaining. Rav Yossi, Midashavke Barzuke Mechal de Mamukas Eitz Karev Meir Svirle. So he's holding like Rav Meir, Manale, Milo Haisa Leish. So he learns it out from Lo Haisa Leish. Va'afikte. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You darshened it already. You can't darshen twice. You can't double dip. So the Gemara says, no. Chad will parse the phrase like this. Chad Milo Haisa, Vechad Meleish. So one is coming from Lo Haisa, one drasha is Lo Haisa, and the other one is Ish. Okay, fine. And that's what Rav Yossi will do vis-a-vis the pasuk, and that's why he leaves Rabbi Shimon. Elav l'rabos abogeres. So now, What do we do with the word elav? It comes to include a bogeris. So v'amar Rabbi Shimon basula basula shleima mashma. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember yesterday's daf? According to Rabbi Shimon, the word basula by itself means that it has to have full basula. And a bogeris does not have full basula. A bogeris has residual basula, but she does not have full basula. So the Gemara says, time adidei nami hasa mehacha. So the Gemara says, how do you think Rabbi Shimon arrived at that conclusion? Because of today's daf. Meaning today's daf informed him about what is the default of the basula. The darishachi midi elav l'rabos abogeres, meaning I need elav to include bogeres, meaning what's the default? Mechal de basula, basula shlema mashma. Because the default is that basula by itself would have indicated a basula shlema, which is only katana, which is only nara, not bogeres. By achoso and being mitame for achoso, so we need a drasha to include bogeres, because the default is that basula by itself is a basula shlema, not a bogeris. Okay, so it's today's daf that informed him about what is the default setting of a basula. Okay, adkan. Okay, takes us to the end of that topic. So again, who can a kohen be matami for? His sister. But only his sister is a basula. And so what we discussed today on are four sub-questions within this. One, achosa arusa, machlokis atanayim. Two, achosa anusa, no machlokis rachmanus. She lost her basulim, Cohen cannot be metamifer. Three, achosa mukas eitz, machlokes. And basically it comes out to how to darshan the psukim. And finally, number four, achosa bogeris. Achosa bogeris, a Cohen can be metame, a akol, according to everybody. Okay, next. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, giyaris p'chusim mi ba'al shoshan b'yom echak sher l'kahuna. Okay, let's start off with some basic information. So a Cohen cannot marry giyaris. Okay, now why? So from Rashi over here on today's daf, so the assumption is that she has a zona status. In other words, that while she was be nachriusa, so she engaged in zona type behaviors, conferring upon her the status of a zona. Okay. So even though she's megayeris, and even though we say gersha is gar kakana nola dami, but nevertheless, in other words, there is still a zona status that is assumed to be on her, and therefore the Kohen cannot marry her. Okay, that's the unwritten assumptions of the Gemara. Okay, fine.
Even if she wasn't zona before.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. There's basically it's a cheska zona. Yeah. So a Kohen cannot marry Giyaris. Okay. What if she was a Giyaris p'chusa mibas gimoshanim? She converted before she was 3 years of age. And we know that a bia under the age of 3 is legally insignificant.
Does she have debt at that age to convert?
No, of course not.
So how could she convert?
Say she converted al das Beis Din or al das her parents, right? Tosfos in Kiddushin, Daf Yud Aleph. I may be off by a page, okay, but still, confirmation. Okay, good. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Amar Giyaris P'chusa Mibas Gimel Shanim V'Yom Echad K'sher L'Kahuna. Okay, so. You have a Giyaris who was, and she converted under the age of 3. So according to the Rashbi, as we're approaching Lag BaOmer, so according to the Rashbi, so you're allowed to marry a Kohen. Shenemar, now how do I know this? So Mechemes Midjan. So we went to battle against Midjan. And V'chol Atav B'Nashim Mishol Yadu Mishkav Zachar Hecha Yulachem. So we were allowed to collect the women, but only the women, I say women by the way, I don't really mean women, I mean girls. The cholatav and Hashem surely yadu mishkav zachar, who were not with a man. So that those women you could take and presumably marry. Now, who was part of the campaign, the war campaign? Pinchas. Pinchas was a kohen. So this is the argument of the Rashbi. So vary Pinchas imahem. So the Gemara says v'rabanan lavad moshvacha. So now those who argue with the Rashbi, which is the chachamim, meaning it's also implicit that there's a machlokus on this issue. And so now the Gemara is going over what is the tzad of the Chachamim who say that even if she is a ger before 3 years of age, you can't marry her. The Mechemes Midjan, when they were collecting the girls, not for marriage, they were collecting them for servitude, for avadim, shvachos. So yachi bashal sham yom echa nami. So the Gemara says, okay, so then why not simply collect women over 3 years of age? Meaning you're not collecting them for marriage, you're collecting them for shvachos. So the Gemara says, "Kid de Ravuna." So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because of the observation of Rav Huna. The Rav Huna, Ramiksiv, Rav Huna noted that the psukim are a little bit unclear in the Milchamas Midyan. On one end, it says, Kalisha Yodas Ishla Mishkav Zachar Harogu. So it says by Midyan, you have to wipe everyone out. As far as women are concerned, women who knew men. Now, Ha'enu Yodas Kaimu. So, and now that means that if a woman wasn't with a man, so that woman you can allow to live. Michlal da'atav ben yadu ben lo yadu kaimu. So what it sounds like is that when it comes to children, so regardless of their historical experiences, you can allow them to live. Now viksiv v'cholatav penashem ashol yadu mishkal zachar hechayu lachem. So, but on the other hand, it says, the pasuk also says very clearly that cholatav benashim, that even as it relates to the girls, asher lo yadu mishkav zachar hechayu lachem. So hayadu harogu. So all this leads to confusion. Meaning on one hand, the first pasuk would seem to indicate that by taf, it doesn't make a difference what their history was. The second pasuk would seem to indicate it does make a difference. Well, doesn't it make a difference? Or does it make a difference? So the Gemara says, Havi amar b'ruya liva ela kasa medaber. So the Gemara says, so over here, we're not talking about their history. And wouldn't it be challenging, by the way, to know what their history was? It means haruuya libael. Once they arrive at an age where they now are in a position where their bia would be valid, so that is the woman that you cannot allow to live. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes Bryce supporting this as well. V'cholisha yodas ish beruui libala kasa medaber. The pasuk's talking about now where she actually had bia, but potentially she could have bia. So, how do I know that? Because when the pasuk goes on to say, it means, so the Gemara says, okay, so how do you know? In other words, where are we going to even know whether she's ru'uy libal or not? So, so what we're going to do is that we're going to pass them in front of the tzitz. Kol shepanem marikos biadua she ruli ba'el. Kol she'im panem marikos biadua she'in ruli ba'el. And as they walk over the tzitz, we're going to look at their complexion. If their complexion turns green, yellow, well, it discolors. So then ruli ba'el. Otherwise, ein ruli ba'el. Amar Rav Nachman Simon Lavera he drokon. So and a sign, a telltale sign, that a woman was engaged, or for that matter, any person is engaged in avera. Avera over here means sexually immoral behavior. So a simon for that is going to be hidroken. If you see the complexion changing, right, turning shades of green, yellow, so that is a simon. Kayotze bedavar ataomer. Yimsum yoshve yavesh gilad arba meos nara besula asher lo yadu. Ishlam ishkav zachar. Okay, this is the end of Sefer Shoftim. This is the end of Pelegesh Begiva. Right, Pelegesh Begiva covers the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim, and so over here, when looking for women who are nara besula asher lo yadu ish lemishkav zachar, and women who were never with a man, namina yade, how do I know? So Amrav Kahana Heshivum Api Chavishol Yayin. So the barrel test, the wine barrel test, which is not the first but the second time in Shas that we're going to hear about the wine barrel test. Beula Recha Nodev Besula In Recha Nodev, and as they sit on the wine barrel, so Are we going to be able to smell it on their breath? Okay, whatever the wine barrel test. Let's just leave it at that. V'na'avrin l'fnei tzitz. So the Gemara says, okay, so I don't understand. This is Sefer Shoftim. They had a tzitz back then, and the tzitz worked by Milchemes Midyan. So why not use it by Shoftim? So Amar Rav Gana Bereid Rav Nasan L'Ratzon Lahem Ksiv L'Ratzon V'lo L'Paranios. So the Gemara says, okay, no, we're using the tzitz only for good. We're not using it for bad. In other words, to weed out the women who engaged in immoral behavior. So we don't want to use the tzitz for that. The Gemara says, wait one second. What? So hachi b'midyanami. I don't understand. That's what you did in Midyan. In other words, we use the tzitz to weed out which of the women were ru'uy libal, which were not ru'uy libal, and the ones who were ru'uy libal are not going to live. So what do you mean we don't use the tzitz for ra? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi lahem tziv lahem l'ratzon v'lo peranios l'lov dekochavim afilu peranios." The Gemara says, "Okay, who's our testing audience? So who are our subjects? So in the case of Milchemes Midyan, So with the Mijanim, who are the subjects of the test. Okay, so for them, the tzitz can be used in either direction. Latova l'peranios. But when it comes to Sefer Shoftim, that's Klal Yisrael. That's Bnei Yisrael. We're not going to use the tzitz over there for that. So therefore, we're not going to use the tzitz. Therefore, we're going to use another test. Amar Rav Yaakov Ba'idi, Amar Rav Yoshua Ben Levi, Allah Chikar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, so, a question of, can a Kohen marry a Giyaris? The answer is no. Can a Kohen marry a Giyaris? P'chusa mi'bas gimel shanim. She converted under the age of 3. Can he marry her? The Rashbi says, yes, the Chachamim say no. Who's the Halacha like? So the Gemara quotes, B'shem Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, the Halacha falls like the Rashbi. Amale Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi, Befer Shmi Halacha, Mechlal Shmi Halacha. Wait 1 second. Slow down. Did you hear that directly, or did you infer it from an incident? Oh, my klala. So basically, it was discovered that he didn't hear it directly. He learned that he had an incident, and he deduced from the incident. But of course, you're making assumptions then. It's not as glot. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Ira Chasai Saber Tziso Shekarala Ir Error. So there was a city somewhere. Right, parts unknown. There was a city in Eretz Yisrael, and questions called into the validity of the children of that city. Vishaga Rabbi is Rabbi Ramanu Subat Gomatzaba Bas Giyaris Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim Yom Echad Vichshira Rabbi LaKahuna. So what happened was is that there was a Giyaris. She converted under the age of 3, and the Rabbi allowed her to marry a Kohen, and that caused the stir. So Amr le befer shmiyalav. So and it's from there that we deduce the halachas like the Rashbi. So is that how you know the halachas like the Rashbi because of that episode? So Amr le befer shmiyali. He says no. I heard it directly, meaning I'm not just arriving at my conclusion based on that story. I heard it directly. Now ve'im mechlal amai, because if it's just that story, here's what we would have said. Demoshani hasam hol ve'insav insav. Because if it were just that story, I would have said that's b'di'eved, but not lechatchila. In other words, lechatchila to paskin like the Rashbi. No, that far we wouldn't go. So maybe over there it was just they got married already, and now it was a question of b'di'eved. Oh, that's a different question. Okay, so from the story in of itself, you can't say the halacha is like the Rashbi. But if you heard from Rebbe directly, okay, so then I can't argue. And in fact, we know there are exceptions for b'di'evid. Go back to the beginning of today's daf. In the beginning of today's daf, what did we learn? That the Kohen Gadol should not be marrying a mukaseitz, nor should he be marrying a bogeres, but b'di'evid, the marriage can sustain. So hachiyashta bishlam asim sofalios bogeres tachtav sofalios bula tachtav hachasofalios zona tachtav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not comparable. In those cases over there, so again, those are conditions in which anyway, even if he would have married her lawfully, those are conditions that would have anyway came to fruition. If he married her as an Ara, she will become a Bogeris. If he married her as a Basula, she will become a Baula. Okay. But not to be compared to a Giyores, meaning a Kohen's going to marry a woman, she's going to become a Zona under him? Of course not. Cases aren't comparable. So this distinction of lechatchila b'di'eved, although it's true and it's precedented, but it can't apply over here. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll start tomorrow with Rav Safra. Okay, let's quickly recap. Okay, today anusa asmo mafutas asmo. Can a kohen marry such a woman? The answer is no. What if he marries her? Nasui. Anusas chaver mafutas chaver. Can a kohen gadol marry her? The answer is no. And what if he does? The children are. Machlokas. Chachamim and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the children are Chalolim. On the first point of Anusa Sasmo, Mufuta Sasmo, so we learned at the beginning of this morning that Rav says he has to give her a get. So, and then I spent some time with the Tosos. If he has to give her a get, so then what did you gain? Meaning either, before Tosos. The Gemara says he has to give her a get. The Gemara says, okay, so then we're back to square one, meaning, so then why, if the whole point of the Brice is that the marriage sustains, but then he has to give her a get, so what do we gain? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what we gain. What we gained is that by pitui, there's no kanas. Because again, if she agrees to the marriage, so then that is a waiving of the kanas. And then Tosu says, okay, there's no kanas. You know what there is? It's ksuva. Mali kanas, mali ksuva. And we didn't go through the Tosus, but it's just such a sharp question. Okay, number two, our second big discussion for today. Anusas chaver mufutas chaver. The Kohen marries her. Kohen Gadol marries her. The children are, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, a chalal, and according to the Chachamim, kshera. Okay. What is the Nekudah Machlokas? So the Gemara tries on a couple of pshatim. The second pshat is, can you create a chalal through an Isser Aseh? Kohen Gadol to a Ba'ula is an Isser Aseh. Does that produce a chalal? That's the Machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. Next big topic of today was a Kohen being metame for his sister. But the Torah says, achoso habisula. And so we discussed four permutations of this, of the achosa. One, we discussed achosa rusa, machlokas hatanayim. Achosa anusa, no machlokas, he can't be metame for her. Achosa mukas eitz, also subject to a machlokas. And achosa bogeres, no machlokas, he can't be metame for his sister who was a bogeres. And then the Gemara went and discussed all the drushas that were involved in that. And our last discussion of today is, can a Kohen marry a Gioris Pchusa Mibas Gimel Shanim? So is a Kohen allowed to marry such a woman? The Rashbi says yes. The Chachamim say no. Okay, Adkan.